Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good afternoon. It is March 26, 2019, and you are listening to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and it is a blessing and a privilege to do talk radio in times like these. There are national issues hitting every minute. We're going to hit some of them, and then I have a special guest, Sheriff Clark, who many of you know. He's been an outspoken supporter of Donald Trump. This is the perfect day to talk to him about the Jussie Smollett case. He's known as America's Sheriff. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for joining Spouting Off, Sheriff Clark.
Sure, it's a pleasure to be on with you. Hello to your listeners.
Oh, hello. Well, I want everybody to know that while they got to know you in the Trump campaign, because Donald Trump always had you there, and you're always there with your great big cowboy hat, you have distinguished yourself and, in fact, very beloved by many conservatives for your honest, straightforward, and law enforcement mentality. You don't go for Black Lives Matter, you go for Blue Lives Matter, and that's what a lot of conservatives do, too. And you're the sheriff, were in Milwaukee, is that right?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 40 years in law enforcement, 4 terms as elected sheriff, longest serving sheriff in Milwaukee County history, and I retired about a year ago, September.
That is great. Well, I am delighted to have you. I just wanted to at least give people a sense of your background. I'm having the chance to call to talk to you on a very interesting day. As you know, you were kind of a last minute replacement, and I'm so delighted I hit the jackpot. I was happy to have the previous guest, who I'll have on again soon, Brian Colfage. But in your case, it couldn't have come at a more perfect time, because today was the day that Jussie Smollett, out of nowhere, simply a total shock even to Mayor Rahm Emanuel of Chicago and the police department, they totally dropped the charges on Jussie Smollett. Give us your take on what you think is going on here.
Yeah, this is a sham. It really is. There appears to be some prosecutorial misconduct here. I think there needs to be an investigation by the state of Illinois Attorney General's office into this decision. Look, I know how these things work. It's like I said, 40 years in law enforcement. I investigated crimes, serious crimes, homicides, shooting, gang violence, so on and so forth. I know the prosecutorial process. And the prosecutor, first of all, this thing went to a grand jury, and the grand jury returned the 13 charges. The prosecutor has this, what they call discretion, and that's why I said prosecutorial misconduct here. They have discretion, but what sometimes happens in these situations would be what's called a deferred prosecution, where they have enough to go to trial, but they take a lot of things into consideration, the person's criminal history, so on and so forth. And what will happen in a deferred prosecution is the prosecutor will say to the defendant's lawyer, look, we got enough here, but we're not going to proceed. If your client stays out of trouble for the next 6 to 9 months and does some community service, pays back the police department for all the time that went involved in this investigation, after 9 months, we'll review this again and we won't issue charges. That is totally perfect. That's totally legal. That's totally ethical. That's not what happened here. She just dropped all the charges, sealed everything, expunged all the records, nothing other than him not him forfeiting his bail, and that's it. That is not how a deferred prosecution is handled. And so I think there was some political chicanery here, and some digging needs to be done to find out just what went on here.
Well, and so, Sheriff Clark, what do you think the motive was? I have my own conjectures. I don't know if you deal in conjectures, but as a talk radio host, I like to conject all the time as long as I take responsibility for it. And I know I don't have evidence, even though, you know, Jussie Smollett didn't either. when he falsely accused people of doing something they didn't do. So what do you think is the motive here for shutting this down, sealing the records, and letting him walk scot-free?
Well, the motive is to not let anybody, basically through the media, but not let the public know what went into making this decision. When you make a decision like this, you have to make a lengthy record. You actually have to write it out and say, I'm not issuing these charges or I'm dropping this for this reason. And you can't just say, well, he's been a pretty good guy and he's done some good things for the community. That's not enough. As for a motive, I don't know. It could be any number of things. The fix could be in. I think there's some political chicanery here. I think the fact that this guy was a celebrity, his celebrity status was at play here. The timing of it, I smell a rat here. Coming off the heels of the Mueller investigation report, the Democrats in D.C. were getting hammered by this thing. And here was a chance either for, if you want to get into conspiracies, here was a chance to take the news cycle off the Mueller report, which wasn't doing the Democrats any favors, and put it on this. Or the prosecutor here felt, the fix is in. I can slip it in while the Mueller investigation is going on. Everybody's focused over there, and they won't pay attention to it. So I think it's a flip of the coin. It could be one. It could be the other.
Well, Sheriff Clark, it's funny because, I write a lot of op-eds and blog posts and that sort of thing. And before you came on, I mentioned that on Sunday night, the day of the Mueller investigation, when the report finally came out, I'm playing for time here as I pull up my own website here at KarenCataline.com. I wrote a blog post, which was unusually prescient, if I do say so myself. False accusers in the Mueller investigation are Jussie Smollett times 1,000. And here's what I think is going on. I think that the two are profoundly connected in the minds of Democrat strategists. And that means not a very lot of them. I don't think you have to be a conspiracy theorist when you watch the way that Democrats strategize together and give each other talking points constantly. And what I really do think was happening is Jussie Smollett was the poster child for false accusations. And if ever there were false accusations for 3 years that dragged the country through the mud, it was the Mueller investigation. So they didn't want Jussie Smollett hanging out there as an example. And that's just my hunch. I don't know what you think about that. I don't have any evidence of it. It just seems like that's the biggest motive to my way of thinking anyway.
Well, sure. And, you can come up with a lot of things, and I can too. But, some of the things that you mentioned, I think are pertinent here. One is what Smollett was engaged in was a game of identity politics. The race issue. Remember, somebody put a rope around, a noose around his neck, said this is MAGA country, guys in MAGA hats, so on and so forth. All the stuff that the left uses to drum up those disparate groups as it relates to identity politics.
Exactly.
Smollett checked a lot of boxes, all right? He's gay, he's black, he's a celebrity, he's very liberal, he's hyper-liberal, so he checks a lot of boxes. But he discredited that movement. And so, this might be an opportunity to, as far as the left and their insidious game of identity politics, to drum up their base again, talking about the racist criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. I know there's some other things that came out this afternoon about this prosecutor. As they do more peeling back the layers on this, we're going to find out that this prosecutor, like I said, was engaged in some political chicanery.
I agree. And I applaud, this is the reason that I have, at the risk of sounding like I'm engaging in identity politics, and I don't, I loathe and detest it. It requires people who happen to be a member of the particular group that people think are, I can never think of this word. when you're like a sports, like you're someone's teddy bear. And I belong to one of those groups too, not just female, but Jewish, right? So it's like the left thinks they own us. Unfortunately, yeah. On the part of liberal Jews, they willingly are you know, pets of the left, and then the left slaps them in the face like they do blacks. But what I'm getting at is that that's one of the reasons you are as beloved as you are. Because when people of that group have the courage to stand up and say, you know, this is a sham, this is ridiculous, I want to be seen as a person of my own right, and I want to rise or fall on my own merits, not because of some group I belong to. That's called individualism. So that's one of the reasons why I think people love you so much. Plus, you're a damn smart guy, and you got a lot of guts. So,
well, I appreciate that. But there's another aspect here quickly, and
sure.
It's that it brings discredit onto the criminal justice system. People need to have faith and trust in the criminal justice system and our justice system, period. And when they see stuff like this, it just it doesn't pass the smell test. When people start to distrust the criminal justice system, that is a sad day for the rule of law in America.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. That one more thing before we move on, and I think we're going to take a break. Can you stay with us until after the break?
Sure.
Oh, that is great. But one more thing I just wanted to cover, and that is, it not only doesn't smell pass the smell test because of the motive that the left has had to take this case off the public stage, you know, to get it out of there as an example of why they're lying, but on its very face, Jussie Smollett is claiming he's standing by his story. Well, we know that the people that were caught doing it were not white. They were not Trump supporters. They were nothing of the sort. And we know he paid them. So he is expecting us to give him a pass because of the protected groups to which he belongs, when we know darn well that he's lying. He wants us to just wink and move on, don't you think?
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, that the prosecutor didn't say, you know, because short of some extenuating circumstances, let's say even after the indictments were handed down, let's say there was some police misconduct that came up, there was some tampering of evidence, so on and so forth, tampering of witnesses. I could see the prosecutor saying, hey, no, we're not going forward with this. This case is rotten. But that's not what happened here. The police put a lot of human resources into this thing, hours and hours and hours, took detectives off of a case of a one-year-old kid who was shot in the head in a gang drive-by shooting in Chicago to put on the Mueller case. They gave him every benefit of the doubt. They believed him from the beginning. They went out and just investigated to try to find out what happened here. And basically now, if you look at what's going on, I think that it leaves a black cloud over the Chicago Police Department, because now they're suspect. Hey, everybody's saying, what happened here? Hey, did the police do something wrong? So on and so forth. We know they didn't, but, you know, that's what we're up against right now. And obviously the prosecutor could care less about the integrity of and character of the Chicago Police Department or the criminal justice process. She was involved in politics.
That you got that right. And collateral damage, that's what the Democrats do. It's collateral damage. If it fits their political agenda, then they don't really care. And from what I hear, the Chicago Police Department is furious. And wouldn't you be? We all are. So, Sheriff David Clark, what a pleasure to have you. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to have more with Sheriff David Clark. We'll talk a little Mueller. And then we're going to talk about the police in general, which the previous president tried to smear, much like the Democrats have been trying to smear Donald Trump. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio. Stay with us.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous. It's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to Spouting Off, and I'm delighted to have with us Sheriff David Clark. Most everybody knows Sheriff David Clark, or they got to know Sheriff Clark during the Trump administration, during the Trump campaign of 2016. But I think Sheriff Clark started to get pretty well known on Fox News before that, and I think people kind of drafted you into the public eye, didn't they, Sheriff?
Yeah, you know, these are opportunities for leadership. You got to step up and do what's necessary. I had to step up and defend the profession of policing, which had come under assault by the left, by straight-up cop haters, including the former president of the United States, Barack Obama. And I didn't see anybody else in law enforcement from the executive level. I'm not talking about the cop on the street or on the front line, but from the executive level, I didn't see anybody step up to help defend this profession. So I did, and it kind of thrust me into this this national spotlight.
And it was so needed at the time. I mean, people sometimes have short memories in politics at how the police departments all over this country were being smeared and defamed, not unlike Donald Trump in the last 3 years. And in fact, it's interesting to me, I'd love your thoughts on this, the about face that the left is capable of doing, because they don't seem to care about hypocrisy. I mean, I think conservatives do. We fall short all the time of stuff, and I have issues with conservatives plenty of the time, but at least I try to hold myself accountable. I don't think Democrats ever do. And so while they're trying to upend police forces all around local policing, so in my opinion, they wanted to bring in a national police force, they were doing so by smearing everyday police officers. Did you feel like that was happening, or am I just, you know, another crazy conspiracy theory?
No, without a doubt. You know, the character, the reputation, the integrity, the service and sacrifice of the American law enforcement officer was under assault with no data to support, no evidence of it. I looked at all the research. I looked at all the data from the accusations people were making, and it just wasn't there. And as a parallel with what you mentioned, as it relates to President Trump and this fake Russia collusion and obstruction, there was no evidence there to suggest it from the very beginning. So nobody was surprised by the conclusion of the Mueller report. But getting back to the police, look, you know, we don't live in a perfect world. Officers are in an environment that's very dynamic. They deal with things that are tense, uncertain, and rapidly evolve. They get to a situation, they get called into it, they don't have all the information. Sometimes they have to make split-second decisions to protect themselves or somebody else. And sometimes they have to use force. Sometimes they have to make arrests. Sometimes the way they perceive it and are assessing it in real time doesn't turn out to be the way it is. For instance, they see something in somebody's hand, they assess it based on their experience, could be a weapon that could be used against them. They don't have to be for sure that it's a gun or that's a knife. It's just in their experience, I told the guy to drop it. He wouldn't drop it. I felt he could use this thing against me to harm me. The police officer takes action. And it's reasonable under the circumstances to do so, not because the cops say so, but because of the rule of law, Supreme Court decisions on police use of force. So these are things that many in the public don't understand. I get that. But then they need to step back and let somebody like me, who's experienced in this sort of thing, I've investigated a police use of force, I know what's involved. And here's the thing, too. the police don't make the final decision. Okay, it goes to a prosecutor, it goes to a grand jury. They get to make the decision as to whether it's reasonable or not, and more times than not, because of the rule of law, because of the articulation, and because of the circumstances, what the officer's actions were in the end, it doesn't say the officer's actions were right, it says they were reasonable under the circumstances.
Exactly. And look at the about face that they mentioned, that happened when first they smear cops, then they want cops to be the only people that have guns. None of the positions of the left make very much sense because it changes with the wind. And again, we were so grateful to have someone who would stand up for the rule of law and with the courage that you've had to do it. You told me during the break, and we don't have too much more time, so I want to get to it. You told me during the break that you are involved with the same project that Brian Colfage, who I'll have on later, and who I probably will have on tomorrow when I fill in for Jimmy Lakey on 710 KNUS in Colorado. And it's called We Build the Wall. Now, Brian Colfage, if people don't know, and I bet they do, because he's from Colorado, and is a triple amputee who took it upon himself, much like you have, to, instead of expecting somebody else to do something, he decided to start a GoFundMe page during the shutdown of the government to say, we can fund this thing, we can fund this wall to secure our borders. And you've told me that you are involved on the board in this project. Tell us about this project and what you're doing with We Build the Wall.
Sure, and it's an honor to be involved in this. WeBuildTheWall.org. People can go there, poke around the website. We hope you make a donation. Brian is an example of the power of one. Never underestimate the power that one individual can do. As you indicated, he served this country. He has survived more injuries than any service member in the history of American warfare. And what I mean by that is not the most injured, but the most injuries that survived the attack. He's a triple amputee, is a rocket attack as he was serving, I believe it was over in Iraq. And he saw what was going on with the wall. They wouldn't give the president the tools and the money that he needs to protect the southern border, close the southern border, seal it, and protect U.S. citizens. And he thought, well, you know what? Congress, they don't solve problems. They just extend them out into the future. They all campaigned on it. They raised money off it. Then when push came to shove to do something, they did nothing. So he thought, this is going to be a situation where the American people can step up. One thing for sure about the American people, they always step up in a time of crisis. If there's a hurricane, there's a tornado, an earthquake, floods, or fire, they step up to help other Americans. That's what this is. It's citizen action. We're going to help, and I was down at the southern border, by the way, about a month ago, and I met with ranchers and homeowners that live along the border. They're being ravaged through illegal immigration. Their property's being destroyed, stolen, broken into. Their sheds, their barns, their homes are being confronted by illegal immigrants as they trespass and cross into the United States. And what this money that's raised is going to be used for is to build walls along private property with those ranchers down there that agree to have it done. And that's what the money's being raised for. All the money's going to be raised toward building barriers and walls for private citizens who live along the southern border of the United States.
That's spectacular. And look at how the media rush to demonize. They demonize everybody who disagrees with them and try to disavow and shame Brian Colfage that somehow his
disgraceful
operation wasn't legitimate. People could get their money back. I mean, you know, it's a pattern of behavior with the left that is so obvious now. You don't have to be able to, you know, tell the future to see the kind of tactics that they are engaged in. And it makes total sense that you, Sheriff Clark, would be involved in securing our border to protect our citizens. I mean, it's a huge drain on law enforcement if they have to keep on arresting the same people over and over again, right?
You know, it's a humanitarian crisis. The president was spot on when he designated it in his national declaration of emergency. He said it was a humanitarian crisis. We have gangs pouring in through the southern border, MS-13. We have people who have been deported that keep coming back. We have illegal drugs, fentanyl, opioids. We have an opioid crisis in this country. It's coming in through our southern border. I saw a stat, 80 to 90% of it's coming in through the southern border. You have human trafficking, all right, women brought over as human slaves, thrust into prostitution. And the left just wants to sit by and watch this and say, oh, nothing to see here, you know, move along. I think it's unbelievable. But again, I guess that's the American left today. So it's going to take a heavy lifting by the American people to keep the pressure on Congress. They still have an obligation here under the Constitution to fix this broken illegal immigration system. But also at the same time, we can step up. It's happened before in history. The American Revolution, the Civil War, where Americans stepped up to deal with a crisis and to deal in a situation where the politicals, like I said, they just spew hot air in Washington, D.C. They rattle sabers, but rarely do they fix anything. They usually make
Absolutely.
It worse.
Well, and Donald Trump, that was one of the first things he said, is all that they're all talk. I have a question that, since you were at the border just a month ago, you say, I
yes.
keep wondering, now we have another caravan forming. Is this such a simple, basic question? But we hear about the caravans, and then there's another, then there's another, but nobody ever reports on what happens to these people in these caravans. Why don't they follow them? What happened to them? Were they sent home? The giant first caravan during the, during the midterm elections? Where are all those people now?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You know, President made it clear in a State of the Union address that the days of this first one, the days of catch and release are over. That's his order. That's his directive. I think he's being failed by DHS Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, who's not following his directive. And what happens to them is they're sent into, there are a lot of agencies that get federal money to receive these illegal aliens into the country, and basically what happens to them is nothing. They're dispersed into the United States. They spread out all across the United States. It's kind of hard to keep up with them. You'll never see them again. You really don't know who these people are. Even when you try to assess who they are, there's no records to compare them to verify who they are, and so you never see them again.
Yeah, and they are absorbed into our country, which is exactly what the left wants. You know, I'm struck by something. We do have a lot of listeners from Colorado. Colorado is now the tipping point, the tip of the spear in leftist ideology. There are no votes to stop this freight train that is being perpetrated on the citizens of Colorado. Every wish list item that has national backing. And I hope that you'll look into this, kind of, since you are such a great national spokesperson. Do you have any thoughts on these red flag bills? And are you aware at all? And if you're not, I'll tell you the short story of how red flag bill is about to be passed in Colorado, which takes away the due process rights of everyday law-abiding
right.
citizens. It is an ugly, nasty, completely unconstitutional thing. And with my particular background, I'll just say it's like you have a right to be considered crazy until proven sane. They are using mental health issues to take away your everyday rights by saying that all they have to do is say you're crazy, which we know the left believes anyone who has a gun for self-protection, even women who are vulnerable, is crazy. So all they got to do is someone, well, just give me your thoughts on it, because I'm telling you, we got people up in arms in Colorado that are losing their minds about this and a whole bunch of other ugly stuff.
Yeah, it's a shame what's going on in Colorado and other states. It's a beautiful state. It's a great state. I've been there numerous times. And people should be up in arms. The red flag laws are nothing more than a stealth attempt by the left to disarm American citizens without due process. It's an attempt at gun confiscation. They do it under the guise of, this person might be a threat, this person might be a danger. Okay, we all care about that, but they're entitled to due process before their firearms are seized from them, and that's not what a red state a red flag law does. It allows the guns to be seen and you can seize, and then you can have the hearing later on. So this has to be fought back. I know there are some sheriffs in Colorado who are against this, some counties, and this is what I would suggest.
More than
half.
There
are counties who, who are against this. They can create a county ordinance that would shield law enforcement and shield these sheriffs in Colorado and give them protection that they don't have to enforce these laws. I don't want sheriffs taking that up on their own and saying we're not going to enforce it, because the sheriffs aren't the law. But if the county drafts an ordinance that says, you know, sheriffs don't have to abide by this, well, then that gives the sheriff some protection to do this. But this has to be fought. These things are becoming popular. Hasn't happened here in Wisconsin yet, but it will. It's just a matter of time.
It will.
But the Second Amendment, these rights have to be fought for, otherwise they're going to go away.
You got it. And it's Bloomberg money. It's these big national money that's behind all of these issues, from sex education to you name it. I have to say Colorado's bill is one of the most egregious of any in the country. What we do have is more than half the counties in the state, which is ironic, and it should go hand in hand, have now declared themselves sanctuary counties for the Second Amendment. Why that's so delicious is because the same people telling them, and including a leftist attorney general of the state of Colorado, is threatening sheriffs that if they don't follow the law, they should step down. And yet we have all kinds of sanctuary counties on illegal immigration in this state. So it's do as I say, not as I do. And because you know the president of the United States, who made a terrible error, in my opinion, I love the guy. I love the guy. But when he said take away the guns first and then adjudicate, that was just a misguided, wrongheaded statement. And we may need the help of the federal government. I think these cases are going to go to the Supreme Court. There's just no doubt about it, because the left will not stop. They're never going to stop.
Well, I think it's the attorney general who should step down if he or she, I don't know who it is, so he or she doesn't live up to their oath. They all take an oath to defend the Constitution. If they're not willing to do it, then they should step down.
You got that right. What a pleasure and an honor to have you, Sheriff David Clark. Tell people how they can connect with you on Facebook, on Twitter, and on your website.
Sure. If they just go to the website, it's one-stop shopping, americasheriff.com. They can get to my Instagram, my Facebook, my Twitter, and everything I write. I write a weekly column for townhall.com, but it all appears on the website, americasheriff.com. You can get a copy of my book, Cop Under Fire.
Wow, a weekly column. I write for Town Hall, but not every week. So that's a lot of work. We all know when you have to write a column. Sheriff David Clark, thank you again. Godspeed. Thank you for the great work you do. You are a patriot, and what a lot of courage you have to stand up and be a majority of one. Thanks for being with us.
It's an honor. Keep fighting.
You too. You too, Sheriff David Clark. If you'd like to learn more about spouting off and about what I'm up to, go to www.karencataline.com, Facebook, Twitter, and just like Sheriff David Clark said, it's a one-stop shop. You can connect with me there. Thanks to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, and to HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about. Oh my God, will there ever? Here on Spouting Off.